This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez.
What are you laughing at?
Reginald Atatula. Byron Matthews is filling in for Figgy Fig. Fig is out sick today. It seems like it's a day-to-day type thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he will miss a lot of time. But in the last segment, he texted us a little bit of an update that he feels like he can confirm that he's got food poisoning, and he thinks his lady gave it to him. He thinks that the wifey is who ultimately gave it to him. And a conspiracy just came in from the 346. Mrs. Figgy was listening to 610 yesterday and heard him talking crap about her telling people that they're new to the area.
That's right. I'll show you. Oh, boy.
How about some undercooked chicken?
I hope that's true.
Why?
Yeah, you want some salmonella? I got some salmonella cooking for you.
Why would you hope that that's true?
Because it's a great story.
Is it? The story that you're concocting
in
your head.
She's not killing him.
Is one where.
It's making him uncomfortable.
Figgy's wife is spiteful to the point of basically bio warfare.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Whose wife is not spiteful?
I guess fair enough to some extent. I don't know. I don't got a wife, so I couldn't really give you an answer there. Text in 713-572.
Is your wife spiteful?
Is your wife spiteful? Let's go ahead and put evidence on your phone that she might be able to find sometime later. Okay, let's get into some Texans before I get some people before we drive up the divorce rate or something. We got some news from practice, as Thursday is a very important practice, particularly attendance wise. It gives you a little bit more insight into who might and might not play on the weekend. And Robert Woods is back at practice. That's the name I know that you were looking forward to. You're really waiting to see if Robert Woods be there.
All hands on deck, man.
Well, it's real all hands on deck because Robert Woods is back, but then also Steven Sims is back. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a little, I don't know if controversy is the right word, but a little conversation.
Decision to be made.
Yeah, about who actually ends up back returning kicks for these Texans against the Colts. Azeez El-Shaair still not at practice, so I think it's starting to get safe to say that he's probably not going to play in this game against the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Ward still not at practice. It seems like Henry Toto is not at practice. He's still dealing with that concussion protocol. And that's interesting because he was at practice yesterday, which is one of the early steps in returning. So I'm not sure exactly what this means when it comes to his return and the possibility of that. So at the very least, we know that Neville Hewitt, Jake Hansen are going to be important in what you're doing. And obviously Devin White, who has been added, seems like he's probably going to be active for you, or at least is going to have some level of impact.
Well, it really seems he's going to be on the field, right? If El-Shaair's out.
I'm not certain.
I think so. I don't know how many reps he's going to get.
Well, he might be on the field for like special teams type stuff. I could see that maybe happening.
Maybe.
As D'Amico and CJ Stroud talked yesterday, and Devin White was one of those guys. He was the first guy, that was the first time they had an opportunity to speak to anybody on the team about that acquisition. So this is a D'Amico 4 here. D'Amico was asked, how do you think this team can get the most out of Devin White and get him back to the play that we saw early in his career?
Yeah, it's no secret that Devin has been an all-pro, top linebacker in his league coming out of college. He was, kind of a no-miss player. He went top 10 in the draft. I mean, he was an exceptional talent. So what happened and why he's here, no one knows. Like, life happens to us all. You just have to keep punching, keep attacking each day with the right mindset. And the opportunity for Devin is to come in here and compete. Right. Again, nothing's promised. We don't know what the future holds. It's just one day at a time. Compete every day and we'll see where we end up.
That was very noncommittal.
Yeah, very much. Very much so. But I think because of the Christian Harris situation, by the way, not seen at practice, which not a big surprise, but just for the record, El-Shaair, Toa Toa, the fact that, they just need some warm bodies at this point. I think he'll be on the field. But I do think it's very much true what Andy Kalu said. What are your expectations? They can't be real high at this point, simply because, as Andy said, he was not a part of Philadelphia's plans for a reason. So he's got a long way to go, but maybe the little pixie dust from D'Amico will help him out.
Yeah, and I guess there's some thought that maybe there could be some politics involved. Not, of course, the voting kind, but, you know, interpersonal.
NFL politics.
It'd be like that. We've all been in a job situation, or you can even take it to high school. You know, when you played high school sports, mm-hmm. it always felt like there was some level of politics that was involved. I could tell you mine. Dude in front of me when I was playing wide receiver in high school, he was taller, he was faster, but he did not have better hands than me. And I was like, okay, so that's what you value? I thought we played wide receiver. I thought we caught the football.
You're bitter.
That's neither here nor there. But, N'Kobe Dean with the Eagles was, mm-hmm. you know, a young guy there that I think that the Howie Roseman and that team valued more. And so maybe you could say that there was some level of politics that involved there. But
they did bring him in.
He didn't see any snaps like that.
They paid him $4 million to come in.
I feel like with any team, like you bring a guy in, you at least want to see him on the field in some ways. And I guess you have practices. So I don't know. I don't have high expectations. And then you have D'Amico. Then they're saying like, hey, he can come in and compete. Nothing mm-hmm. is promised. That feels a lot like, hey, he's here to give us a level of depth. He is a breaking case of emergency as opposed to like an opportunity to add a curveball to what you have here or really integrate him in a big way.
Kicking the tires. On Devin White.
Yeah. Somebody did mention before we go forward, because our guy Fig is out today dealing with a little food poisoning. They said, I'll tell you, there is a stomach bug going around right now. They said their daughter's whole daycare class was sent home. So maybe that's also some level involved. And it's not some level of bio warfare as Lopez is trying to set up.
That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Somebody said Bill O'Brien politics with certain players. Absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that's one of the major reasons that DeAndre Hopkins leaves this team, isn't it? Right? Is the politics of that situation with Bill O'Brien. God, what a menace. Mm-hmm. What a menace.
He was that.
Him and East being. Oh, okay. Anyways, I'm mm-hmm. sidetracked now. But one of the things about this offensive line and being less than stellar in some of the, particularly against the Packers, is, you know, seeing CJ, you know, have a lot of adversity. He had a game in which he did not throw for 100 yards, which felt unfathomable coming into the season. And so D'Amico was asked about how he's seen CJ Stroud battle back from adversity early in his NFL career, because he's going to need to do that.
CJ handles adversity really well because he's really grounded, right? He's grounded in the word first and foremost, and that helps him to be able to weather, you know, the adversity when tough things come his way. It's, you know, losing a game or having a tough game is the only adversity he's faced in life. And if it doesn't dictate who he is or change, you know, his personality and what he's about. So, you know, I'm excited to see how not only CJ, but how everyone responds, you know, after losing a game. Is it adversity? No, we lost the game. There's a lot more adversity in life that a lot of people deal with. We lost the game. It happens. Like, let's move on. Let's see how we play this week.
Yeah, of all the things that we can talk about with the Texans that have sort of popped up as either concerns or whatever, CJ Stroud is at the very bottom of that list. Yeah, like we've seen enough of what he can do. We've seen enough of him responding, even at the beginning of last year. So CJ Stroud is way, way, way at the bottom of the list. I will say, you know, he said that about CJ Stroud. It was just one game. He said about the offensive line, it was just a bad day. I do think there's more at work than just it was a bad day.
I mean,
it was more than that.
Yeah, that's a hard sell for me here. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I'm believing that one to mm-hmm. the fullest extent there. But, yeah, the idea that it was just a bad day defensively, I don't mm-hmm. know if I – or not defensively, offensive line-wise. Yeah. The reason why I found that to be an interesting perspective when it comes to C.J. Stroud is that we started asking, is this a possibility of like shell shock there with being behind the line and constantly being under pressure and constantly having to use your feet to create? And I kind of wanted to bring this back around because CJ was talking later and they asked him, what can you learn from those plays when you're quickly under pressure?
Honestly, I mean, I would say, you know, just for me, just getting the ball out on time, being able, you know, to try to stay comfortable after getting hit, you know, really just, you know, just trying to make everybody around me better. You know, I got the utmost respect and, you know, a trust in my line. You know, one outing doesn't make you a definition. You know what I mean? There's plenty of games that you can go look at the film and they did an amazing job. You know, so I don't believe in the banter and all this. I don't even see it. I know I'm not really on social media, but, you know, I hear about it and, you know, I just like you guys beat them down. I want y'all to praise them as well, you know. So this next week, I know that the protection is going to be great. I can't wait for it, you know. And okay. You know, I want y'all to do the same thing y'all doing now and just, you know, be more positive, you know. But same time, it's the league we in, you know. We're not feeling bad for ourselves. We grown men. We can take it, you know what I mean. And I know that they want to be better and they will.
Yes, we will. We were very complimentary of the offensive line after the first Indy game. I was blown away, about how well they played. They didn't play well lately, and so that's something to talk about. But I do want to mention this because you talked about, what we've talked about here and there, and maybe Mina Kimes talked about it a little bit yesterday. We played her audio of, like, the effect, the cumulative effect on him just as a quarterback when it does just get crazy around him, and he is under pressure and all that. I think those are two separate things. I think, like, I'm not worried about his mental preparedness or his confidence at all.
No.
At all. But I also do think at the same time, if it starts happening again, it could affect him. In the course of the game itself. That doesn't mean he's not confident going in or mentally prepared or anything like that.
And that's why I found it interesting, kind of get into his headspace as to what is he thinking about and what is he evaluating when it comes to those situations, because he's had to be in them a lot. And it seems like for him, he's just like, hey, get the ball out quicker, which I do think that there is something of that. Yeah. He has held the ball a little bit in trying to make plays. But I think that that's not just a him thing. That's going to be a play calling thing as well in helping him have the outlets to get the ball out quickly as well, because it feels like that might be a full consideration that needs to be had, getting the ball out quickly in order to help that offensive line not have to have long developing plays. Although it seems like not having those long developing plays there for him is something that he really misses, because we've talked about how he loves taking some of these deep shots.
Yeah. So, he's going into the game and I'm not worried about how he's prepared or confident. I also think if things start to break down, we could maybe see another couple passes in the dirt or bailing out of the pocket a little early. But that's just, the way he has to play if the line is breaking down.
That's just some of the things that D'Amico and CJ talked about yesterday. I want to see if we might be able to have an opportunity to circle back to some of those later in the program here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Thursday. It gets even thirstier at 2 p.m. when we will turn it over to The Drive. They're broadcasting from Buffalo Wild Wings and Tomball. Go see the fellas. Go get you something to eat, something to drink, and register for the giveaways that I'm certain they will be doing out there. But coming up next, it's time for one of our staples, the Lunchtime Confessions. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
Maybe I'm psychic, is my confession.
I don't know if that's the case.
Maybe I am. Was it yesterday or the day before we were talking about some of the dumb things in the NBA that make you kind of roll your eyes or laugh?
That was Tuesday, because we were definitely at Texas Star Grill Shop.
Oh, yeah. We were at Texas Star Grill Shop. So one of the things I said is a 16-point first half lead. People always try to read too much into that.
True. Especially in this modern NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for
Rockets led by 18 in the first half yesterday. Ended up losing.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Old? It was last night.
Yeah, it was all the way last night. Why are you bringing them old stuff? You aren't trying to hear that.
I was like, and I fell into the trap, which I guess is the second part of the confession. And I'm watching this. I'm like, okay, they're playing some ball. They're going to win this one. They're up 18. Oh, wait. That was bad.
Yeah, it was not.
But I did say 16-point leads.
They can disappear.
People read too much into them.
Man, I do feel like, and this is probably not right, but it feels like the Golden State Warriors of, like, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago really did a lot of that, where it felt like, oh, you get to a 20-point lead in the second half, and this thing is donezo. Let's cancel it.
Yeah.
And they walked so many of those down where it just felt like, oh, this, and of course, it's not just them, right?
It's the NBA, but they did a lot of it.
The more 3-point shots that continue to grow, and it's like, okay, well, anybody can come back with this different pace and speed, and it's like, okay, so 20-point leads don't mean nothing anymore. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Which really stinks for folks that are trying to get to bed on that late game. It used to be, you see that 20, you're like, all right, time to go to bed.
Yeah. Well, the old axiom, or I guess attitude some people have of, I really don't check in on an NBA game till the fourth quarter. I mean, there's just a little bit of truth to that.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I might be a bad person.
No, you're not. You're a good guy.
Well, let me hold on. You're not... you gotta hold on to this one. All right, like you never know what's coming on the back end. I could say anything, and you look stupid. You know, I was like, hey, hold
that's
on,
right.
Wait a minute.
That's right. You confess to some heinous crime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I'm not going to. That'd be insane. But I just need you to. You jumped in a little too quickly. You have a little too trust in
okay,
me right now.
Okay.
Okay. My homegirl, I was texting with her this morning, and she said her son got in a fight at school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before I go any further, what is your first question when you
did he
hear?
Win?
That was also, I was like, did he win? And I was like,
did he win?
I should probably be a little more responsible. Like, I didn't ask, is he okay? What happened?
I was going to ask, did the other kid put his hands on him first?
Yeah,
that was my first thought.
Right. That's a responsible adult. Byron is the responsible adult in the room right now, right? Like, what happened? Right? Like, does he need to be disciplined? Like, what caught? Was he bullying
Heck
somebody?
No.
I was just like, did he win?
Did he win? And that's the difference between, you know, the whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Like a woman would say, a mom would say, oh my gosh, is he all right?
Well,
their first question is he all right?
That generalization doesn't work here because she said that was her first question. Did you win?
And our first question is, did he win?
And
did he?
He did.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know that we have definitive, but apparently he made that little baby bleed, which again, yeah. I'm not happy about necessarily,
mm-hmm.
even though I guess I did laugh. It does make it sound like I was happy about
yeah.
it. But he did win.
There you go. That's the difference.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I can relate, little guy. I got to confess, I am with you 100%. If you haven't seen this, it's gone viral a little bit. Can something go viral a little bit? I don't know. But anyway, it's gone viral. There was about, I would guess, a 7 or 8 year old kid in the back seat of his father's car. His father does the responsible thing and starts videotaping him as he's confessing about his fantasy football team.
I'm done with fantasy football.
Why? What happened?
Everything. All my players are getting hurt. And they're like some of the best ones.
Who's hurt now?
Chris Godwin's hurt. Now CeeDee Lamb's in the, Debo Samuel's in the hospital. And CJ Stroud can't do anything.
Oh, wow.
CJ Stroud's sucking right now.
Hey.
So is Chris.
He ain't say that, Dad.
Cortland Sutton.
Hey. We gotta look at the waiver wire and keep it moving. That's all you can do.
We have all been there, at least in our minds. We've all been there, and maybe me a little bit this last couple of weeks. But,
You look like you wanted to cry a couple of times when the elite neighbors were not available.
That is so awesome.
Is it?
It is so awesome.
I was surprised that you got a kid that young playing fantasy football.
Oh, no. They are into it. Big
See, this
time.
Is why this is why these babies don't need phones. You're supposed to be riding a bike right now.
He's like just bawling.
Worried crying. About Debo Samuel and CD. Hey, that's not your concern.
Here's the other part of that. When he said, I'm done with fantasy football.
He's lying.
He is so much lying. Just like us.
He might not know that he's lying, though.
This is true.
But yeah, especially.
I'm done with fantasy football.
He's going to get into college and have some boys that want to put together a league. He'll be back.
Yeah, heck, college. He'll do it again next year.
Probably.
Yeah.
But he's also, like, in order for you to be, like, 6 years old playing fantasy football, you got to be in a family that loves sports. You're not getting away from this.
I'm done with fantasy.
They have saddled you with this sickness.
I love that so much.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, so I'm actually going to kind of tag in our producer for the day, Byron Matthews, because I will confess, I did not know that this was a thing. And Byron, you were driving in, you saw something very particular today, huh?
Yeah, so I was driving, so I live in Sugar Land. So
shout out.
So Google had me, the Google Maps had me take a different way so I didn't get on 59 traffic. And so I'm passing these stores and I see a firework stand and there's a poster that says Election Day Fireworks. And so I asked Reggie about it because I'm like, people only pop fireworks July 4th.
Yeah.
And New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never, unless they're trying to bring some new thing, but it doesn't make any sense to me because what do you get out of this?
Have you ever heard of Election Day fireworks?
I have not heard of Election Day fireworks. You know what this sounds like?
Yeah.
This sounds like a company trying to expand their marketability. They were like, this stand was like, hey, man. People seem to be with this election. Can we sell some more? Can we sell a few more? If we brand them as election fireworks,
will
people buy them?
Tonight, I'm going to pass by to see if they're actually open, though.
Okay, here's the thing that confuses me. I get that certain counties have different policies or laws or whatever, regulations, whatever you want to call it, regarding fireworks. I am pretty sure you can only sell them 2 weeks around July 4th and 2 weeks around New Year's. Can you even sell them now? Is this even an upstanding legal operation that's going on?
Are you saying that we're making the block hot? Yeah. We might be messing or we might be driving them traffic. You never know. Yeah. But yeah, I kind of appreciate the ingenuity. Mm-hmm. I also don't like the idea that maybe, just maybe, we're going to see a whole bunch of fireworks get fired or shot off on November 6th. That's okay.
As long as they're just fireworks. You know, you've heard these people popping guns into the sky and everything else. I think Brandon Aubrey, the Cowboys kicker, if you didn't hear earlier, the Cowboys kicker has missed practice, could well miss a game because he actually got put on a 12-person jury in Tarrant County. My confession is, I don't think he minds this too much right now. I know he's a professional kicker, bonuses, all that stuff. I think most people in the Cowboys organization, if there's a reason to like take a break for a few days, they'll probably take it, try to reset, so to speak. It's a mess right there. I think I called it a festering boil earlier.
That is the words that you use.
Yes. Yep. I think he just doesn't want to like miss a game and his chances to be, you know, do what he loves to do. But I think it's kind of nice for some people to just get away, and he might be one of them.
Did you just liken a getaway to jury duty?
Yes. He wants to get away. Would you rather be on jury duty or a part of the Cowboys organization right now?
He's a kicker. They could be doing nothing. They make their own schedule. He might as well be working from home.
Well, he kind of is at this point.
Not in jury duty. Yeah. Not listening to a case.
Yeah.
Now, like, you go from being an expert in what you do. Like, every day I go and I work on my kicks or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever kickers do. I still have no idea, to be mm-hmm. honest. To now, you got to be, you got to work on your computer, or not your computer, your criminal,
criminal sciences felony degree, assault with right? intent.
Like, you gotta be, figure out what's, what fits in the law and, you know, what mm-hmm. is and isn't real in those instances. You're working on different parts of your brain than you typically do. That's a lot more work. And maybe this says a lot about me. Yeah. I don't know that I'm super excited about the opportunity to be like, hey, now you have to decide, well, with all of these cases and all these arguments being thrown at you, what's real and what's not.
But here's why I think that. Like, I'm not saying I'm endorsing this, but if you want to get out of jury duty, you can get out of jury duty. It is not difficult to get out of jury duty.
Oh, and I never go that far. Like, I'll go and do my jury duty. That's fine.
No, I do too. All I'm saying is, you can. If you want to get out of jury duty, it's very easy to do.
Especially if you're doing jury duty in the greater DFW area and you play for the Cowboys, they can make some things shake for you.
Yeah, I think he kind of likes the little break.
Yeah. Fireworks can be sold in Texas June 24th through July 4th and December 20th through January 1st.
Yeah. I got to find out more on this. Be sure to text us.
Each county commissioner's court can also permit fireworks sales outside of that window. So there's other windows, February, late February, middle of April around San Jacinto Day, Memorial Day. If the retail fireworks store is located within 100 miles of the Texas-Mexico border, that's not what we're dealing with right here.
Yeah, I didn't hear November.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time. Yeah, we might have made the block hot for them. My bad. Did not intend on doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa fireworks, ladies and gentlemen.
Texter says most of the county down there in Sugarland is under a burn ban as well.
So yeah, no election fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm definitely passing by tonight just to see.
Keep us updated.
No, I will for sure.
Ah, okay. So some additional news. Someone said that Texas is allowing fireworks sales for Diwali, which is a Hindu festival of lights. So that might be what they're doing, and they're taking advantage of that to then sell
election. Putting a little spin on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure to get a picture of the sign too.
Okay. All right. Intrepid reporter Byron Matthews is on the case. All right, one more here for me. I might need to stop wearing some of the t-shirts that I wear, or at least just be more
cognizant. I like that one.
And that, yeah, the one that I'm wearing today, it says entry level adult. Can you read what it says on the back? Because I always forget.
Let me see. Please send help.
That's right. So that is the shirt that I'm wearing today. It really fits my mood. I am 32 years of age. Yes, I'm probably a little too old for it, but it still makes me smile. But you put on a shirt. I don't think about the fact that I'm wearing a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like when somebody makes a comment on it. And in this case, today it was in the elevator coming up to work.
Oh, okay.
Like your shirt. And I'm like, what? Oh, well, actually, like your shirt is fine. All right, because then it's like, all right, I know a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody just says something about the shirt, like I was,
it just goes right over my
right
head.
Right over, I'm just like, yeah. What?
Yeah.
Oh
me
yeah,
too.
That's right. It happened a couple weeks ago when the fellas of the drive were out at East River 9. Actually, it was probably 3 weeks ago. Luke was in with one.
Okay.
And one of the waiters came out and was like, "Do you know what time it is?" And I was like, "What the hell are you talking about?" And I like pulled up my watch and she was like, "No, it's baddie time," because I was wearing a shirt that said baddie time.
Oh.
I was like, "Oh yeah, okay." And I felt like an idiot because I'm the dude wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
And yet and still I didn't know what.
I'm with you. That happens to me a lot. Yeah, all the time.
With your fishing shirts?
Well, I do have other things.
Do you? I don't think I've seen you wear.
I'll wear a t-shirt tomorrow. That is along those same lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
Yeah, that's what I was anticipating. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those are our lunchtime confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. All right, coming up next, let's do a little buy or sell as we are wont to do on a Thursday. That's coming up on Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up after us will be The Drive with Clint and Ron. Those guys are heading out to the Buffalo Wild Wings. Off of Tomball Parkway.
Willowbrook Plaza off of Tomball Parkway.
Okay, so I wanted to make sure I got that correct.
Go see them.
Because we got to make sure that if I'm sending you to a place, that you're going to the place that they're actually going to be.
Yeah.
Where you can get your eats, your drinks, and then also sign up for the opportunity to win some giveaways.
Yeah, and tell Ron that rings are stupid for kids.
All right, you don't have to do all that. The last part I do not sanction. Don't do that. But yes, say what's up. Also, the Hindu Festival of Lights that we were talking about, I said it was Diwali. Apparently, it's pronounced Diwali.
You could have fooled me.
Okay, so we're learning. Cultural exchange. Appreciate the 832 texting in. Let me know. Let me know what time it is on that. But what time it is right now, it's time to do a little buy or sell.
You buying it or are you selling it? I'm going to relay something that has been talked about or in the sports world this week or today. And you tell me if, yeah, I'm buying that, or their nose might be growing. It could be a bunch of malarkey.
Malarkey.
So to speak. I'm going to start with right here, locally. D'Amico Ryan said that bringing in Devin White was just to, quote, see what he could do to help us. He didn't address the Christian Harris factor as a reason.
Yeah.
That's where I went with it. Like,
yeah.
You know, the reason.
That's fair. I think that's... I was going to buy it, but I understand what you get. Like, the spirit of this behind it is a sell, right? Ultimately, the depth does not matter if Christian Harris is near to returning or obviously if he has returned.
Right.
It's the fact that he remains out in this nebulous space where we know nothing about what's happening with him that you need to, you know, once Aziz Al-Shaair is injured, once Henry Toutou is in the concussion protocol, that you need to find some level of depth behind Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen. It's that for that reason that you are going searching the scrap heap with all due respect, right? I don't want to be disrespectful to Devin White, but that's why he comes in, is because you need that depth because of the circumstance that is not being provided by a dude who is still on IR even though he's eligible to return. And we have not gotten any
eligible to return.
We haven't gotten any insight as to why he is not returning.
Yeah, this is a kind of a first for me. I'm going to buy it and sell it. I'm going to buy it in the sense that they are trying to kick the tires here, see what he can do. But I'm selling it because the reason that they're kicking the tires is because Christian Harris is not available. So kind of a first for me with that. But all right, you buying or selling this? Giants owner John Mara of the Mara family from Wellington Mara on down. Owners of the New York Giants.
Wait, did you say Wellington Mara?
That's the first Mara that I ever met. Was Wellington Mara. He was the owner of the Giants, I believe, in the 80s and into the early 90s. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, he passed in 05 at the age of 80.
But I think he had passed it to the other Mara, and this is the third Mara, if I'm remembering that correctly.
That is, passed it to what, John Mara?
No, I thought that was another one in between. Maybe not. But Wellington Mara.
Yeah,
which,
John is a direct child of Wellington.
Yeah.
Wellington Timothy Mara.
Yeah. By the way, if your name is Wellington Mara, you're pretty much guaranteed to be rich.
Maybe.
Wellington.
I think that that's some of this is just like, you know, the bias of history that, of course, we're going to know about the Wellingtons that are rich. We might not know about the Wellingtons that went.
I've never known a Wellington that lived check to check.
Well, that's because that Wellington probably did not make it in the space to be able to talk to you but about things.
Anywho, Wellington Mara said, quote.
Yeah, that Wellington ain't making it to 89 is my point. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
John Mara said, quote, we are not making any changes this season regarding the Brian Daboll, the head coach. And, quote, I do not anticipate making any changes in the offseason either.
This is oddly tough. Well, it's not just Daboll. It's Daboll and Shane.
And Shane.
And
yeah.
That's where I will sell.
Yeah.
Because, again, one of the things I feel like I know about rich people, I'm not going to be too presumptuous as to say it as an absolute fact.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of things that hurt them, but being embarrassed in front of company.
Bingo.
They don't like that. And if you've listened to Payne and Pendergast, you hear our guy, Sean Pendergast, frequently mention offseason hard knocks, where Shane with the handling of this Saquon Barkley situation, and then the way that they came back and smacked them boys when they came to MetLife, I imagine that does not make John Mara feel very good, and so that feels like that could be on the table. But they're undertaking a rebuild of some sorts that I think they recognize. And that I don't know that it'd be smart to like make a whole bunch of changes unless, of course, you don't believe that he can do the job, which possible.
This is an easy one for me. You said it's oddly difficult for you. Sell. We hear it all the time. Oh, we're not even considering that. And then come the offseason, boom, they drop the hammer. I think both of them are gone. I think they're both gone. All right. Buying or selling this one. Lamar Jackson said this week that he does not really think about winning an MVP. That there's bigger things in his plans.
I buy that.
And he does not think about winning the MVP.
I buy that wholeheartedly. He got two of them things.
I do too. You would think I wouldn't, but yeah.
Right? Like, and for him in particular, there's always been a chip on his shoulder because of the way that the narrative in the general conversation has been about him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
That it has always been something to prove. And in addition to that, is as he has proved things, the goalposts have shifted.
Yes.
And so for him, winning the MVP, winning the MVP again, those have not shifted the conversations about him. Hey, man, can you win in the playoffs? Can you win more than one game in the playoffs? Right now, it continues to shift forward. And I think there's the narrative portion of it. Plus, as a competitor, like all these guys say this, and I believe that they believe it. They play to win. They play to win ultimately, right? So the individual accolades, once you have that, and once you feel like you're set in that way, which I think he is, it's all full steam ahead towards winning a championship. And I think that. That is the perspective. Plus, it helps that they're in a place where it looks like they have the capability of doing that.
Yep. The first thing most professional athletes want to do is get the second contract. The second thing they want to do is get the individual accolades. And the third thing they want to do is win a championship. That doesn't sound right, but it is right. Trust me on that. And he's gotten the first two. So it's about the championship now. All right. Buying or selling. Jim Harbaugh, who had... It wasn't a fibrillation. What was it? He had some sort of
arrhythmia.
An arrhythmia. Yeah. Yeah. He had a heart arrhythmia.
Irregular heartbeat for those of you that are not familiar with arrhythmia, but I feel like that's relatively common.
It's pretty common now. Yeah. I think. Anyway, I guess he missed the first part of a game or was had to be pulled off the field for a second or whatever.
He did.
For a while. So he went to a cardiologist. And in typical Jim Harbaugh fashion, they asked him what the cardiologist told him. And he said, quote, that I have a heart of an athlete.
I'm buying that.
Oh, come on.
I don't think he's lying. I think he's omitting details. Heart of what kind of athlete?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, heart of what kind of athlete there, Jim? Like a
monster truck driver?
Right, an older athlete.
Yeah.
Heart of a UFC fighter, right? Like, what kind of athlete are we talking about, right? Because not all athletes are built the same. And you were at one point an athlete.
He was. Jim? A good one. He's in the Ring of Honor, crazy enough, in Indianapolis.
Yeah, but clearly that heart is telling you that you may be an athlete, but you're not being athletic right now. That heart, and obviously, I don't know if it's necessarily that, right? Arrhythmia can happen a lot of people.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like he's the heart of the athlete, except it'd be doing that weird thing every once in a while where you have to be real careful or else you might die. You know what I mean?
I like your answer, though. I'm selling, but yeah, he might just be talking around the reality.
Yeah.
You got the heart of an athlete.
It's an lie of omission. I'm certain of it.
All right. Buying or selling this one. Steve Sarkisian says that he has all the confidence in Quinn Ewers and, quote, there is no quarterback controversy at Texas.
I actually buy that.
No way.
I actually buy that. I think what Quinn brings is he is further along in his development of being able to like run the offense and do that steadily.
Mm-hmm.
Arch clearly has like the wheels that Quinn simply does not have. He has the ability to throw on the run that he does not have. But what he does not possess that Quinn Ewers does have is that experience,
mm-hmm.
that calmness, that understanding of how to work in those situations. And I think that that's going to be more important to a championship caliber team right now than the athleticism that Arch provides. They brought Arch in that game, right? In that game versus Georgia to hopefully bring some of that athleticism to the game. And he did in some ways. He drew a face mask by, you know, stepping up in the pocket and looking to escape. But when the opportunity came, when they were able to kind of settle this down in the second half, like after halftime and kind of have some conversations, who was back in there? Quinn Ewers, because I think that they understood that he gives them the best chance of actually winning on a larger scale.
I don't doubt that, but I'm going to say something that has been a long-held belief of mine, and I've said it before if you've been listening for any amount of time. Quarterback controversies are never, 0% of the time, up to the head coach. The head coach has nothing to do with a quarterback controversy.
Okay.
It's what the fans are doing. It's what the national media is doing.
And when college, it's what the boosters say.
It's what the boosters are saying. It's what the questions are that are being asked. A quarterback, he may be 100% in belief of that. It's not up to the head coach if you have a quarterback controversy. That's the one thing that a head coach has no control over, is a quarterback controversy. And that's why, overall, I get what you're saying, and I don't think he necessarily doesn't believe that, but it's not up to him.
Okay.
It's not up to him. All right, buying or selling?
Well, if they get back to winning, that controversy would show.
It will, but right now, listen to the boosters and the fans and then, you know, all that, et cetera.
That's the thing about college football. All of those people who have great effect in what is happening here are all deeply unserious.
Of course. But again, there is buzz about this. There is buzz about this. All right, buying or selling? A couple more for you here. Jerry Jones said that part of the reason that Derrick Henry was not brought in to the Dallas Cowboys was because, quote, he didn't fit the offense.
Sell. It's a sell.
Who was it? God, I wish I could remember. Said, well, then you make your offense fit him. It's Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and the problem is, like, the running backs you got don't really fit the offense all that much either. Mm-hmm. Like, the offense is just not very good all the way around, and these are things that you could have foretold.
Yeah.
And it's not the same reason that he gave before either. Like, they talked about that he would probably want too much money as one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
It is a shooting pain of excuses where it just kind of jumps to wherever is pertinent for the moment. Jerry Jones be lying, dog. That's what's happening here. Jerry Jones is lying.
All right, one more. We'll end it with a D'Amico Ryans like we started it with a D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans said the offensive line had, quote, a bad day.
That is true. They did have a bad day. The problem is they stack up with different bad days. And the problem is they're not the same bad day.
That's a good point.
They're varying types of bad day, which has made it all the more frustrating because it feels like if you get one thing, it's like you're plugging holes in a boat, right?
Yep,
you put your finger in one of the holes and then the water
fingers
pops
in a dike, as the old saying says.
That is wild, the words that you just said.
That's an old saying.
It's old for a reason. There's a reason it's not modern. I was going to ask you to say it again, but that'd be irresponsible on my part.
I'm only saying it once.
I'm glad. I'm happy about that. But yeah, man, what was I saying? What was I talking about before you said that? Because you throw me entirely off my game.
That is a
buy
true
or sell,
saying.
Whichever one. I don't know.
It's done here.
There you go.
It's a Dutch proverb. I'm not going to say
You're
it again.
You're not Dutch.
It's a long, yeah.
I know that those are seafaring people. I get it,
You
right?
brought up the analogy.
Yeah, but I said it in such a way that was not wild like what you said.
But the actual proverb is to...
I'm not going to say it. What are you doing? Like, why are you trying to set me up to say it? That's buy or sell.
Oh, man.
Right here in the loop on Sports Radio 16. I heard y'all... Did y'all hear that? Is it just me?
It's not what you think it is. I mean, maybe, but that's not how it's being used.
All right. Coming up next. Let's get... Let's get back to talking about football, because, well, I guess that was kind of football, but not in the way that I want to be. Is the dominant run philosophy resurging in the NFL, and is that possibly a path forward for the Texans? We'll talk about that next.